Frustrated, ashamed, and in this concerned when we do hurt our spouse. As though, you know, there's something wrong with you. All that means is you're human. The issue is, are you going to clean it up after it happens? And that is what every marriage counseling situation since I've ever been involved in, where they're getting close to divorce, it's the same story. They started out in love. They started out enjoying each other. They started out in a beautiful relationship. And then they started hurting each other. And they didn't have an ability, a plan, a strategy, an approach to healing. And so it just piled up. And they started shoving it under the rug. And then their emotional tub, Stacy talked so beautifully yesterday about, got full of negative emotions. Anger, resentment, fear, condemnation. And that crowds out the positive emotions of joy, happiness, contentment. And all of a sudden, they wake up one day and go, I don't love my partner anymore. Why don't they love their partner? Because all the positive emotions have been crowded out by the negative emotions. And where did the negative emotions come from? Hurt that didn't get healed. So, it's pretty predictable. It's pretty easy to see how it works. And it's not difficult. It's not simple. It's not easy. But it's not at all impossible to heal the negative emotions so that the positive emotions can come back in, so that you can go back to a place similar to where you started when you first got married. It can happen. And that's why it's just so important that we understand, in our first talk, those meeting of those relational needs, because when you meet needs for appreciation, approval, attention, comfort, respect, security, you make deposits into their cup, positive emotional deposits into their cup. And then, when you heal the hurts, you remove the negative emotions out of the cup, and you've got an intimate relationship. So your cup needs to be empty, and we made an initial effort yesterday to start that process by saying there's only two kinds of people that hurt you. It's either your spouse or everybody else. And the everybody else is what we got to look into. It's how have you been hurt? How has your spouse been hurt by somebody that wasn't the spouse? And we said that there is a way to heal that, and it's called comfort. It's called blessed, Matthew 5, for blessed are those who mourn, for they shall receive comfort. You need to, when you get hurt, you need to admit it hurt, mourn it, receive comfort, and you will receive a blessing. That will receive cause positive emotions in your cup. So, what we had you do yesterday was try and practice comforting your spouse in a hurt somebody else caused them that you didn't cause. To give you some practice of what does that look like to comfort your spouse, and then hopefully help you to receive some letting go of and healing that hurt that somebody else caused. So, when I first heard this 25 years ago, and I started understanding this idea that, okay, if I've got these top 10 needs, then the beauty and simplicity of those needs is that it's not only the needs when they're met that will lead to my flourishing and my joy, but it's at the point of needs where hurt occurs. So when you need acceptance and you get criticism, when you need respect and you get treated disrespectfully, when you're looking for a secure environment in your home, and it actually becomes a very insecure environment, all of those things create needs are not met. That's where hurt occurs. That's why it's so important to learn what those needs are, how to meet them, and then to be able to look at it and say, okay, then how might they not be getting that? So let me tell you a story of how when I first heard that, Stacy did her needs inventory and revealed that one of her top needs is acceptance. Then, for some strange reason, God gave me the grace to ask her one of the dumbest, I mean, best questions I've ever asked her, which is, how am I doing at meeting your need for acceptance? Now, remember, acceptance comes from Romans 15:7, accept one another as you've been accepted by Christ. Children of God have been accepted by Christ totally, completely, unconditionally. We no longer are on a works mentality with God. We're not trying to earn His favor. He has, through the blood of Christ, declared us forgiven and accepted. Beloved. You are the beloved, adopted child of God. He's Daddy, Abba, Father. He loves you unconditionally, like Dave Matthew was talking about. So, I didn't get that. I didn't understand that when I was first married. At least not very well, because when I asked Stacy, okay, so how am I doing at accepting you? She said, well, you shouldn't really want to know. And I said, I don't know, but let's go for it. And she said, well, yeah, totally screwed it up. But we did start out our marriage really rough, because it was just about 3 months into our marriage that you looked at me and said, you know, you're a lot lazier than I realized before we were married. So, she said, you know, so what that did is it conveyed a message to me that you don't accept me just the way I am. I have to be this non-lazy version in order for you to accept me. So, every day you would come home from your, at that time, banking job and say, well, so what'd you do today? I didn't interpret that as a loving inquiry into my life to understand how can I love you at the point of your day today. What you did today? What I heard was an inspection. What did you do today to prove that you're not a lazy person? What did you do today that is worthy of my respect of you being a non-lazy person? And so I just, in our first 2 years of our marriage, I just felt all this pressure and lack of acceptance. But because I had just learned what acceptance was and had just wrapped my arms around that that was a valid, legitimate, biblical need that she had, for me to not criticize her and try to fix her and change her, but to just accept her like Christ had accepted me, when she shared that, and she shared it with me very lovingly and gently, it just broke my heart. I couldn't believe you. First of all, my first response was, my first thought was, I didn't say that. Well, I wasn't dumb enough to actually say that, because I knew her mind was like a steel trap, it always is whenever we get hurt. You don't forget what happens when you get hurt, right? So, of course, then she told me, it gets worse, Andy, because you know when you told me that? It was just shortly after we had sex. Seriously? Did I really do that right after that most intimate moment? Am I really that much of a idiot? Well, up until this point, I would have just gotten defensive, I would have gotten dismissive, I would have gotten argumentative, I would have tried to explain it, I tried to minimize it, whatever. But I was learning how to heal hurts. And I just said, tell me how that made you feel. And she explained the pain that I had caused her. And the difficulty and the aloneness and the judgment and the criticism and all that I had piled in early in our marriage when she was so excited about being married. And it broke my heart, and I apologized at a depth level that I think she went away going, I think he gets how much he hurt me. And it healed. Well, it took us several months to walk through all of the different ways that we had been hurting each other. But we had the model that you're going to see today and that you're going to practice today, because this is one of the most important things that you can do, is understand a model of how to heal hurt. Of what does this actually mean? And figure out and get help if you need to get help. But somehow, you have to be able to figure out how to heal hurts. And understanding these valid needs is the core of understanding how to heal the hurts. And so I want you to turn to page 19. You know, it was just a few months after that happened, with the acceptance that Stacy looked at me one day and said, you know, Randy, I think we've healed every hurt we have ever had in our relationship. And when she said that, it was just a breath of fresh air, because I thought, wow, I agree, you're right. And since then, we have continued to heal the hurts as they come along real time. Page 19, and looking at the third paragraph down, which starts out, the first step, and I'm just going to read this because it is so important. The first step in breaking the pain cycle is to identify the hurts you have caused. Next, it's important to confess these faults to your marriage partner. Admit they were wrong. Don't rationalize or blame anyone else. Don't analyze the situation and explain away your responsibility. Try to understand the hurt from your partner's point of view. Your partner may be hurting about something that makes no sense from your perspective. If he or she is feeling hurt, you need to express your care. Caring for your partner means addressing the hurt with compassion and apology. Words need to be spoken humbly and sincerely, without excuses, rationalizing, explanations, minimizing of the other's burden of blaming. Unintentional hurt still hurts. The tone of voice needs to communicate, I really care about you and your feelings, and it saddens me that I hurt you. This helps bring about healing of the pain. For example, I am now aware how my lack of sensitivity has hurt me. When I don't let you know, I will be late coming home. You feel disrespected and insecure. I've done this many times. I have been very insensitive to your feelings. You shouldn't have to worry about where I am and if I'm all right. I was wrong to put you through this. My insensitivity and lack of dependability hurts you. I see how it impacts you. Will you forgive me? Look over to the next page. So what would be a guideline for an effective confession? 4 points. Be specific. A good confession of guilt is never general. It's specific to a specific situation. That's why it's not ideal to be able to say, I'm sorry I've been so impatient with you throughout our 30 years of marriage. Better to be able to go back to a specific point in time, even though there were hundreds, to think about maybe a specific example of it and confess. You can confess it in generality and say, you know, I have been very impatient with you, and it grieves me. Like last week, when blank happened. That is a more specific approach. Second, you're wrong about explaining or rationalizing. It's not, you know, I did that, but if you would just change the way you talk to me, then I don't think I would be so impatient, or I would have said that. Third, show understanding of the other person's feelings. I bet you felt very alone. I suspect you might have felt very isolated and very hurt by my doing that. Specifically ask for forgiveness. Will you forgive me? So here's the drill. Think of a recent specific incident when you disappointed or hurt your spouse. Perhaps you were selfish, spoke harshly, or failed to give encouragement. This recent wrong may not have been as hurtful as other incidences from the past, but this is a good opportunity to confess and forgive each other using a recent example. So go through all the stages needed for forgiveness to be offered and received. So, turn to page 62. It's a great list. As you're thinking about, trying to think about maybe some way in which you hurt your spouse, this is a good list for you to just ponder. Have I been insensitive, disrespectful, dismissive, angry, harsh, critical, selfish, demanding, rude, embarrassing, judgmental, sarcastic, mean-spirited, neglectful, cold, blaming, avoidant, passive-aggressive, condescending, negative, emotionally closed off? You flip back two pages, three pages. Page 59, you can see confession, forgiveness, and comfort after marriage birth. This is something you don't need to read right now, but I just want to highlight it for you to come back to, because there's three pages of really thorough, detailed, additional help at what it looks like to heal marriage hurts. So just dog ear that page and come back to it, because all we're doing in the next few minutes is asking you to think of something that's happened in the last week, 2 weeks, month, that you could own, that you could apologize for. Not trying to pick that this is the deepest, darkest, most painful thing that's ever happened in your marriage. I wouldn't even go back, like Stacy and I did, to the 3 months into the marriage, you know, you said this. You're going to need to repeat this process multiple times over different hurts in the days, weeks, months ahead, and you'll be able to go into those deeper waters later. All you're doing right now is practicing on something that might be recent. If you're not here with your spouse, I just want to encourage you that you can take this back to your spouse and just very humbly say something like, you know, while I was at Bow Ranch, I learned about healing hurts, and I realized that there's probably some ways in which I've hurt you that I'm not sure I really owe or apologize for. And I just would like to try and implement what I learned at Mother Ranch, and I'd like to just say that, you know, I feel like that XYZ, you know, is a way that I may have hurt you recently when we had that fight. And remember, every fight you get into has two sides to it. And everybody has, and they both hurt each other. Okay? They didn't know one side to the other. All you're doing is taking a log out of your own eye and saying, I'm going to own my part of this. And you're not even asking your spouse to own their side of it. And they may have even hurt you first that caused you to hurt them back. It didn't give us the right to hurt back just because they were the first one to hurt. We have to take responsibility for what we did. And it'll actually be more powerful if you do that, because there may be something deep inside of them that says, yeah, I kind of started that fight and you just responded, and now you're apologizing for what you did. Really, a better process than I did. So if you're here by yourself, while the couples are doing this, I just want to ask you to spend some time maybe alone, just praying and processing. What, God, what do you want to bring to mind of how I may need to go back home and apologize to my spouse that's not here? And just take some notes, jot some things down, and then prepare yourself to head back home. Great question here. So for those of you that are single, the same thing as with if you're here without a spouse, think about somebody that you have had a conflict with recently. It may be your mother, maybe a friend, maybe a brother or sister. Probably somebody within your family. That's where so much happens. But think about some conflict you've had recently with somebody, and where you may have said something, done something that, you know, you kind of like to go back and undo that. You wish you hadn't said it. And again, just take some time to process that and journal, take some notes. You know, I think I'm going to go back home and I'm going to talk to this person. I'm going to apologize and ask for their forgiveness. And then maybe even tomorrow in your small group time, you know, you might share, you know, what God put on your heart of who you need to go talk to and what that could look like. Okay, any other questions? Is that a question?
Yeah, so, you know, what is the only thing that gets you, sometimes it's over on one side of the day, and the other person wants to participate in the process or what have you, that would be encouragement or how you can listen to me, come to me, or I think it's how you do this, how you can kind of push forward.
Yeah. So if they're not willing, ready, and interested, then the question was, what if your partner and spouse is not willing and interested in engaging in the process? You know, don't force it. Don't demand it. Don't manipulate it. Don't press it. Don't shame. Just let it be where it is. My encouragement is, you know, this is approaching this from the standpoint of, I am going to just share what's on my heart of how I've met you, and I have no expectations of you reciprocating. And so if God laid something on your heart, then that's awesome. That's great. If not, that's fine. I know I lay down my expectations of you doing this. All I know is I got to do this for me, because God's telling me to do this. So just take the log out of your eye and let it go wherever it goes, but don't shame God.
You made a comment earlier about you reached a point in your marriage where you realized I feel all words, but I don't do that too.
What do you think, Liz? Yeah, I mean, it probably took us 6 months because we were just doing it, you know, slowly over time. I've walked with people through this where they did it in 1 weekend, you know, where they literally were able to empty the cup and heal every hurt in 1 weekend. So it can go fast or be drawn out. So be patient with the process. What else? So feel free to spread out a little bit. You'll have, you may only get through one of you. It's possible you won't get through both of you, but if you get through one of you, then the other one can do it this afternoon. So let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you for your grace that gives us the ability to do things that are not comfortable, that are a little difficult, but that your grace is powerful. So would you just do that work around Jesus' name?